the grace that is working throughout the world, even within places that may not acknowledge who God is, who Christ is. The power and the love of God is at work. And we give thanks for that. And we are reminded that each and every one of us, it's not just a saying, truly is a child of God. Truly are, as one author put it, Abba's child. So no matter what in life, we are loved by God. That should be our standard for ourselves and for our neighbors. And today we will read and we will look at how we've broken down grace, which is all just one big, wonderful, action-filled love of God. We'll look at what the Reformers and what Paul would call justification. That moment of what we often try to boil down to just salvation or being saved. But of course, living with God and salvation is so much more. It's living life with God. Let us pray. Almighty and Holy God, we thank You, dear Lord, for the gift that it is to read Your Scriptures, the gift that it is to gather together in Your holy name, and the gift that it is to speak. I pray that all words spoken will be pleasing to You, that they will work to encourage us and deepen our faith, to call us and to challenge us. For it is in Your holy name, Jesus Christ, we have gathered. Amen. I'm sorry I've used this Bible so much. I've got marks to begin in so many spots. But it is written to the Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that one may boast. For we are what He has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace. In His flesh He has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law and with its commandments and ordinance, so that He might create in Himself one new humanity in place of two, thus making peace." So He came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him both of us have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. In Him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place of God. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace that we receive is a basic Christian understanding that it is a free gift that God has given to us, that we can't earn it. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't come with responsibility, and it doesn't mean that that we just take it for a moment and leave it. Actually, we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to you and to me that we have been justified, that we have found salvation in Jesus Christ? What does it mean to our lives? How does it make a difference within us? Are we the same as we were before? Are we challenged? The Scriptures are pretty clear that without God, or without Christ, without the mercy of God, that we are hopelessly without the relationship and the presence and the power of God. That our life is not only in jeopardy here in this world as we live and work without God within our lives, but also even upon death, that we are in jeopardy of losing our eternal life. But God has brought us into the fold. There's a couple of things out of this Scripture that at the very beginning, it reminds us that we have to have faith in what Jesus has done for us. We have to have faith in that we have been brought into something new. Now, unless any of you have Jewish heritage, you are Gentiles, outsiders, the ones without God. But by the grace that happened at this time, we have been brought into something new. And what is new is all of the people in Christ brought together as one. But what does it mean to have faith in Christ? I think for one thing, we have to realize that maybe we can't do all this on our own. That as powerful as we are, as strong as we are, as intelligent as we are, that we can't do life the way we were designed to by God without God's help. And we're not going to be forced to accept this. We're not robots. That was one of John Wesley's big things, is that he rejected the kind of predestination that said, you know, you're born to go to heaven and you're born to go to hell. He rejected that as just outright. And I think all of us in our heart realize there's something wrong with that kind of understanding. So we have free will. Your free will and your love of God brought you here this morning. And your free will can pull you away from God. In our free will, we find ourselves challenged. We find ourselves challenged by our really what we'd call very positive attributes. We're challenged sometimes by our logic and by our reasoning. Even though God calls us to reason with Scripture, we are challenged with our logic, because logic is actually, if we will allow, it's influenced by ourselves. There are situations in life, and that we look at them, and we'll just take, let's take giving to God, the idea of tithing. It makes no sense whatsoever in the real world. Show me on a spreadsheet, show me in an accounting where it makes sense to tithe, but yet actually it does. It is part of our spiritual development. It is part of trusting in God. It is an important part of saying that I have faith that I can give back a little bit and God will see me through. It takes faith to give, even though it may be illogical. It takes faith to consider the all of the things that Jesus would do when he would go out and he would accept the people who seemed so unacceptable. It takes faith to think that we'll actually follow this Jesus. We'll follow Jesus to the leper colony. We'll follow Jesus to whatever state that he moves to. We'll follow Jesus from Galilee. We'll follow Jesus through Samaria. We'll follow Jesus into Judea. We'll follow Jesus into Jerusalem. We'll follow Jesus into crucifixion, because we know of the resurrection. But will we really follow Jesus everywhere He calls us within the Scriptures? Frankly, I'm challenged constantly when I go to the Scriptures. The Scriptures are always challenging each and every one of us. Because what we're talking about today, the justification, as they would say, we tend to want to stop right there. Kind of, you know, get wet in our baptism, say the right words, and that's what it's all about. You know, we could do the New Testament in one page if that's all it's all about. But it's more than that. It's having faith. A faith in Jesus. And who is Jesus? And what is He calling us to do? Most of us, we have faith in our intelligence. We have faith in our wisdom. We have faith in our pocketbook. And we should. But we need to have more faith. I heard the song just a minute ago, "It Is Well With My Soul." Most of you have heard the story about this. The man was doing well, and there was a big in real estate, and there was a big Chicago fire, and the fire destroyed everything he had. He began to try to rebuild his life, and they lost one of their children. And in their grief, they decided to take a trip overseas. And so he sends his wife and his daughters on the ship ahead of him because he had some last minute business to do. And the ship sank. His daughters died. And his wife had to write a terrible telegram to him, basically saying, "I'm the only one who survived." So then he gets on the ship and he sails out. And the captain knows this story and he tells them about approximately where the ship went down. And he begins to pen this song, "It Is Well With My Soul." He's not penning any kind of prosperity gospel. He's not penning, "I'm so just happy and bubbly." But he's penning, "It Is Well With My Soul," in spite of the fact that my heart has been ripped out of my chest. Such is his faith in Jesus Christ. And his faith in Christ, he knows his children are well. And faith in Christ, he knows his life will go on somehow. And actually it did. Him and his wife went to Africa. They were great missionaries. But is it well with our soul? Do we need Christ? Because to really accept this justification, to accept Christ into our life, is to accept that there is something out there bigger than us and more important than us. And that's a hard pill to swallow, I think, for most of us. Try as we might, we need a little help, don't we? We need a little help accepting that there is actually something more important than me, and actually something even more important than the ones I love most. That God is doing something that is way beyond us. God is making all things new, and He's making it new within each and every person who responds. He's making it new within the churches that He creates throughout the world. He's making it new, and He's calling us and wants us to participate. But we have to realize that we actually are not enough on our own. Now, this does make sense, by the way. A song. Well, you're really lucky. I picked up the wrong sheet that had the words to it. But it was a song that went something like, "Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, I need somebody." Ooh. Has anybody heard it? Beatles, yes, Beatles, yeah. I was listening to that song, and I started looking at the words. And I thought, what a great well, not that John Lennon had an understanding, but when you look at it through the eyes of searching for Christ and the Scripture, the song starts out, "When I was young, so much younger than before, I never needed anybody before. But now I'm not so young," and I'm messing up the words. But what the song says is, I'm not like I was. I realize I need something. Not just something. Not just anybody. So I'll put my own words in and say, I need God. I need Christ. Not just anybody. Won't you please, please help me? When we come to that conclusion, we realize that we absolutely have to have Christ in our life to move forward, to live. You know, we say we want to live an eternal life. Well, here's the good news. Eternity started before you were born. Every day that you accept Christ is part of your eternal life with God. Eternal living is living with Christ. Let us not wait till our heart stops to live with God. God has specifically called us to live with Him here and to live with Him now. He's called us to believe enough and to have faith enough and to trust. He moves on in that letter and he brings up something that doesn't really hit home for us. He says, you know, before you Gentiles, you didn't know God. Only the children of God were Jewish, and they weren't even allowed to eat with you. Christ has changed all of that. Before, you were enemies with the children of God. Christ has changed all that. And so the people in that first century, when they're reading this letter and they're looking around, and they're saying to themselves, what are those Jews and Greeks doing eating together? Because God is doing something new in what we call salvation. He is making something new in what we call salvation. He is making and changing the hearts of the people who will open themselves up to the living God. He is making something new in the hearts of the people who will be challenged. And wherever the challenge is, whatever it is that we feel that isn't good enough, that we're not going to eat with, the ones that we want to reject outright, the ones who are too different, whoever it is, let's go back to that scripture that was read this morning. One God created the human race. Not two, three, not a dozen, not a pantheon. One God, one humanity. And in Galatians, there's no Greek, there's no Jew. There's no male, no, there's no female, there's no slave. Just one in Christ Jesus. When we actually have the faith to accept this in our hearts, to go through transformation, we do change. I have changed. I am not the man I was 20 years ago. I don't want to introduce you to the man I was 20 years ago. God saw potential and changed me. And it's a universal action. God sees potential in the love and the joy that He has put inside of each and every one of us. And He's calling us to be the universal church of Jesus Christ. And our work, the work that we do for Christ, is our thanksgiving. As in Ephesians, it says, we have been called into Christ for a reason. To do God's good work. What more do you really want to... What more do you want? What more can we do? Oh, it doesn't say don't be successful. It doesn't say be a fool with your money. It doesn't say, you know, that we don't think and go about life, but it just says, have faith in Christ. And by the way, what I said, Jesus says, what I said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'm in it. It's part of it. There's the challenge. Go. And love your neighbor. Because you are in Christ. And Christ is real. Amen.
response this morning is in the black book that is in your pew, The Faith We Sing. It's hymn number 2158, just A Closer Walk With Thee. We will sing verses 1 and 3. Would you stand as we sing, please? I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee, granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Verse 3. When my feeble life is old, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely on, to thy shore, dear Lord, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee, granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, Lord, let it be.
Let us go forth with this benediction, that the Holy God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, is with you, is calling you. Go forth with courage and with faith, and give Christ to the world. Amen.